Welcome to the podcast, The Caring Scientist, Mission Sustainable. This is the podcast where we discuss sustainability in science and we give you hands-on tips on how you can reduce the environmental impact of your lab work.
Welcome to this third episode on sustainability in science. I'm Adriana.
And I'm Nicoline.
And today we're going to talk about energy consumption in labs. Stay tuned to listen to the end, where we're going to give you hands-on tips on how to reduce your energy consumption. So why does it matter to talk about energy consumption in labs? Well, it actually matters a lot because electricity has a strong environmental impact. It gives rise to 25% of greenhouse gas emissions globally because we are mostly relying on fossil-based energy production, whereas renewable energies are still on the rise.
So maybe you're thinking the problem is really the flight companies and the oil industry and all of that. But we also have a lot of impact to do in the labs, because labs consume more energy per square meter than any other industry, except for data centers. So we can't point fingers and say that everybody else has to do something, because labs are really in the top when we look at which industries are polluting the most. And in fact, lab buildings consume 5 times more energy than office buildings, and labs typically consume 50% of the energy on a university campus despite occupying less than 30% of the space. So this is why it's really important to talk about how much energy we're spending in the labs and also how we can reduce it. The top offenders in a lab are typically the ones that I will mention now. Fume hoods are really at the top. They typically consume as much energy as 3.5 households together. The ultra-low temperature freezers, which are typically minus 70 or minus 80 degrees cold, they consume as much energy as an entire household. Autoclaves are also on the list of top offenders because the large ones can consume as much energy as 50 homes. And on top of that, they also consume huge amounts of water. Cold storage in general is also a top offender because, well, the colder you have to store something, the more energy you need to do that. Air conditioning and ventilation is also one of the top offenders because we need to be safe when we work in the labs, and that takes a lot of energy to keep the air clean and healthy. And finally, just all the different pieces of equipment that we have in the lab, they are using a lot of energy. And some labs have actually reported to save 50% of their energy consumption simply by turning off equipment that isn't in use. So of course, there are these really top offenders that we should definitely do something about, but that doesn't mean that all the other pieces of equipment don't matter. For example, heat blocks. If they are at 90 degrees, they are consuming as much energy as 1.5 of your minus 20 freezers. So that's a lot of energy. Also, your water baths. If it's containing around 10 liters of water and it's at 37 degrees, it's using as much energy as 2 of your small fridges in the lab. So basically, it all adds up and it makes a huge difference also when you turn off heat blocks and water baths, for example. So, Adriana, you're still working in a lab. What do you think are the main challenges or obstacles when we discuss reducing energy in the labs?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I think the main obstacle is that people don't feel responsible about it, because we don't talk about it. Nobody assigns you, this is your task, turn off the equipment when you leave. And in theory, it should be. I think the problem is, for example, in academic research labs, is that there's no 9-to-5 work hours. So people tend to work at random hours, they tend to work long hours, and they just leave the equipment on 24/7, especially the heat blocks or water bath or cooled centrifuges. They are, to my knowledge, in all the labs I've been before, they're always on. And I think also one of the problems is that we are not aware about how much energy equipment uses. As you were saying, it's just an insane amount of energy. If you're just thinking about the fume hoods or the minus 80 freezers. And I think another challenge is that people just simply forget to turn it off. When they are the last one in the lab, they're just so busy or they're just so tired after such a long day, they just want to go home.
I think you're really nailing it here. I mean, you're mentioning sort of three things, right? That when it's everybody's responsibility, no one is taking that responsibility, so no one is really doing it. The second is that we are not really aware of how much energy we are consuming and that it makes a difference that we turn it off. And thirdly, I hear you say that people forget to do it, not necessarily because we're stupid or really forgetful, but because you have a lot of stuff in your mind and you're busy with doing a lot of other stuff and you're trying to make great science, and then turning off equipment is simply like going under the radar of your attention.
Exactly.
I think you're so right about these things. And also, I think coming back to the obvious thing, or like what you said about that we are not aware. I mean, last episode, we talked about plastic, which is super obvious to us. It's something that we're confronted with every day in the lab, that we are producing plastic waste. But the energy is invisible to us, right? We don't see it. We don't see that it's used. We don't see that it's leading to greenhouse gas emissions. We have no idea what the numbers really are. And in the end, we're also not paying the bill. Because, for example, for the regions and all the consumables, the PI or the group leaders will actually pay that bill. So they may have an interest in doing something about that, reducing how much you're consuming. But mostly they don't pay the energy bills. That's something that the campus does or the university. So there's not the same motivation also for group leaders to create a culture of reducing energy.
However, actually, there are a lot of benefits if you start controlling a bit more your energy consumption and reducing it. And the money aspect is a huge benefit because electricity bills can go significantly down if you really turn off the equipment. And it's not only that. Another benefit is that the equipment lifetime will be much longer if you really take care of the equipment and make sure to turn it off so it doesn't overheat. So besides the money aspect, the equipment lifetime will benefit a lot.
Definitely. And I think the money, yeah, the group leader doesn't directly benefit from it, but anything that benefits your campus or the university will also indirectly benefit you, right? And I know that not all group leaders appreciate this argument, but that is an argument. What's good for the campus is good for you. And with the equipment lifetime, that's really also significant. I mean, if you make good habits of turning things off, then you reduce the risk of something breaking down. And that's also saving you time in the end. Because every time something breaks down and you need whatever repair guy to come out and have a look at it, you're wasting time. And then maybe this repair guy or repair woman has to order whatever spare part, and then you have to wait for that spare part. Then he comes back and he realizes this cannot be fixed, and then you end up buying a new piece of equipment. So you can save a lot of time because things won't break down so easily. And that's where also the money aspect comes in now, again, directly for the group leader, because every time equipment breaks down, that is the group leader most often who has to pay. So money and time and equipment lifetime are really good arguments for reducing energy.
In one of the labs I've been working at, because nobody turned off the equipment, the whole room was heating up over time. It was heating up so much that the air condition could not catch up anymore. And that is a vicious circle, right? So you need more energy to keep the air condition running and running. And it's also not beneficial because the heat was affecting our experiments. So in the end, it really is important to turn off equipment.
So true. And also all the cold storage units that we have, the freezers and the fridges, they will also need to work harder when the room temperature is higher. And they also produce heat from cooling down. I mean, it really is. It's an endless route to heat, and we're fighting heat with the general air condition.
So what are the things that can be done about this? How can people not forget to turn off equipment? Any ideas, Nicolina?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, right? Because it's super easy for us to sit here and say that it really is impactful if you start turning off things and if you are conscious about your energy consumption. But the trick is, like, how do you actually make people do that? It's not enough to be aware. We need to make people act. And one thing you can do to make it easier for people to change their habits and remember to turn things off is to make common agreements. I think very often the problem is, just like you said, that the group isn't really aligned about when to turn things off or what to turn off, and then in the end, no one is doing anything. But if you make common agreements in the lab, where you, for example, at a lab meeting, you go through all the different electrical devices you have in the lab and you decide on a rule. So for this piece of equipment is the rule that you turn it off directly after use. Should you ask before turning off? Should you never turn off? Or should you only turn it off if you're the last person leaving the lab? This way, there will be rules for all pieces of equipment that you all know what are. And then to remind people about these rules, you can put these little labels or stickers on each piece of appliance where it says the rule. Because then people will also be reminded while they're there. Ah, okay, yeah, so this centrifuge, I should turn off directly after use or whatever. I mean, one thing is that we know it, but we also have to be reminded because we have a lot of stuff going on between our ears during a day in the lab. And turning things off is not one of them most often.
And another thing that can be done in case this strategy doesn't work, outlet timers could be installed. That way you can kind of time it, okay, from 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. this will get turned off automatically, but then it will heat up. So once you're in the lab, your heat block is ready to use. So I think that is actually also a very useful solution that more labs in general could be introducing.
Definitely. In reality, there are quite a few good ways of making things turned off. For example, also now you say heat blocks, right? And I remember from when I was in the lab that the day was so tightly scheduled, so it felt like I don't have the time to wait for something heating up or cooling down, so I'll just do it in advance. I'm not entirely sure how long it takes for this heat block to heat up. I'm just going to turn it on when I enter the lab in the morning, even though I only need it a few hours later, because then at least that won't take my time. And I think if we actually knew how long it takes for a centrifuge to cool down or a heat block to warm up, we would be more comfortable with not turning things on the moment we enter the lab. So for example, if we write with a label on the heat block, this heat block needs 7 minutes to heat up, then I think most people also wouldn't turn it on a full hour before they need it because they would feel confident and comfortable with doing it 10 minutes before or 15 minutes before. So these small ways of informing people how long does it take for this piece of equipment to get ready, that can also really make a difference.
Yeah, that's very useful. In addition to the things that we mentioned, where we talked about putting stickers on equipment, also the adding the information how long it takes to heat up or cool down, and in addition to the outlet timers, another useful thing to do could be to have a list with all the instruments that really need to be turned off when you leave, and the last person should be responsible for this task. So that could be another thing where you really write it down so that people feel really responsible for that.
And maybe even make a list that you hang on the door. Yeah. So when you leave the lab, it says, did you remember to turn these things off? And then, of course, a happy smiley and thank you for doing this and things like that. I think it's important to also not write 10 exclamation marks after all of these things, because if there's something that can really piss people off, it's control and exclamation marks. I think it's nice to be also acknowledged for doing something. I mean, we all benefit when one person turns off the stuff before leaving the lab. And on the fume hoods, for example, where we actually have pretty specific numbers on how much energy it's consuming, it can also be really nice to put a sticker on it saying, did you know that this fume hood consumes roughly as much energy as 3 to 4 households when it's running on full speed? Thank you for keeping it closed when you leave. Because that's also, it's nice to know that it actually does make a difference, these small actions.
Yeah, and once people know about this, they will naturally feel it's a good thing that they're doing. They're turning this off and they're doing something good for the environment.
Yeah, and of course, not everybody really cares so much about the planet like you and I do. But in any case, if it only takes a split of a second to do something to make a difference, then hopefully people will still feel like doing it. I mean, I've also met people who find it really conflicting that they would turn things off during the day. For example, they prefer that heat blocks and centrifuges are on from the moment they enter the lab until they leave it in the evening, simply because they are already feeling busy. They don't see how they would have the time to actually also wait for stuff to cool down or heat up and things like that. And they are afraid that these things will actually make their working days longer. And I completely see that perspective because I don't want people to work longer to go green. But I think we can find ways to not make the working day longer and still go green. I mean, I think communication is really key here. I think as a group, you need to discuss how do we deal with these things so no one is annoyed. Because it's also freaking annoying when someone turned a piece of equipment off that you needed right after. I mean, of course, we need to make sure that these things don't happen constantly.
Yeah. Another thing, in order to understand how much electricity your lab equipment uses, is by using different metering devices like a WhatsApp meter. So you can create a plan for improved energy efficiency in the lab, because that way you have a very specific plan for your lab and you understand where most of your energy is consumed.
Definitely. So as I said earlier, cold storage is also really contributing to the energy consumption of a lab. And we'll actually do a full episode on cold storage because there are so many things we can do there to reduce energy consumption.
So the overall verdict of this episode is that we consume a lot of energy in labs. However, there are also a lot of things to reduce the energy consumption of labs. And now, as promised, here are hands-on tips on how to efficiently reduce energy consumption in your lab. Number one, shut the sash of the fume hood. Keep it low while working in it. Number two, don't run your autoclave unless it's full, and don't autoclave stuff that doesn't need to be sterile. Number three, make rules in the lab about when to turn equipment off and put friendly reminders such as stickers on each piece of equipment to remind people to turn off equipment. And finally, number four, installing automatic timers could be another solution that may be more convenient to make sure that some of the equipment are turned off overnight.
So we hope that this third episode of our podcast inspired you. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard and also that you feel like you want to take green actions in the lab related to energy consumption, because every action does make a difference. If you have any input, any comments, feedback or questions, feel free to drop us an email. And also, we're very interested in hearing also your experiences from the lab. If you have good ideas on how to solve things, then please let us know as well.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to get in touch, please feel free to email us at podcast@avasustain.com. That is podcast@avasustain.com. We have also put this email address and other useful links in the notes below this podcast. Till next time.